緊急地震速報です。強い揺れに警戒してください。
Tragedy on an extraordinary scale. A quake so powerful, it knocked the earth off its axis. Tens of thousands dead. The whole of Japan shifted 3 meters out to sea. Parts of the coast dropped over a meter. But this was first and foremost a human tragedy.On an unimaginable scale.
70近いのね。なんとか今探したいと思ってきました。
It ripped away much of Japan's infrastructure. One of the world's most developed nations brought to its knees. The source of the disaster lay 100 kilometers off the coast. Beneath 6 kilometers of water, the earth was distorted. A vast, slow-motion collision. The earth's crust is made up of several continent-sized slabs of rock, tectonic plates.Japan lies on a boundary between these plates. The Pacific plate is ramming into it at 8 centimeters a year, about the same speed your fingernails grow. The Pacific plate drives underneath it, snagging and catching as it goes. The plate that Japan sits on compresses and buckles under the strain. Over decades and centuries, immense stress has been built.
The energy that drove this earthquake.Have been building up for a couple of hundred years. It's caused by the movement of the Pacific plate towards the Eurasian plate. Think of it as a giant elastic band that's been wound up for 200 years.
On March the 11th, 2011, at 2:46 p.m. Japanese time, the stresses reached breaking point.Beneath 6 kilometers of water, the earth was distorted. A vast, slow-motion collision.
shockwaves radiated out. The fastest, known as P waves, traveled at 6 kilometers a second. Japan's detection systems picked them up instantly. Within seconds, before anyone realized what was going on, automatic warnings flashed across the country. A computer-generated announcement even interrupted a Japanese parliament broadcast. By the time the warning system kicked in, the coastal city of Sendai, just 130 kilometers from where the earthquake originated, was shaking. The slower but more destructive shock waves, called S waves, had now arrived. These waves travel at 3 kilometers a second. They threw northeast Japan into chaos.
Biggest earthquake to date. It is still going. Oh my God, the building's gonna fall.
Did it? We're leaving.
Seconds since the fault line slipped. The slowest moving but most destructive S waves reached Tokyo.
Tokyo's Shibuya studio is very big.
With 60 seconds warning, Tokyo was already braced. But not for this. The earthquake lasts for 6 minutes. It's the most powerful recorded quake in Japan's history, the fourth most powerful ever. Its tremors are felt throughout the entire country, a distance of more than 1,500 miles north to south, and violent aftershocks follow in its wake.
I'm outside now and I can feel the ground shaking. And there's several people on their phones. But I can't reach my husband. The phone is still won't connect. This is terrifying, y'all. I can feel the ground moving quite a bit. I hope he's somewhere safe.
Okay, here we go again. A lot bigger this time. Bloody hell. I have never in my life known anything quite so bloody scary. Jesus Christ. Oh God. Oh, I hope no one's dead.
I guess this is the aftershock of the earthquake. I'm not sure because it's still shaking a little bit. And I am scared right now. I am scared.
Ladies and gentlemen, you guys have just seen firsthand of earthquake in Japan.
We're feeling aftershocks. Quakes still continue here in our broadcasting center right here in Tokyo. And in Tokyo, several fires have broken out. The fire department says fires have been reported in several places, including...
2:53 p.m. The largest recorded earthquake in Japan's history finally subsides, but the aftershocks continue. Thousands of buildings are damaged. In Tokyo, a ceiling collapses on a college graduation ceremony, killing two people and injuring 25.
I'm not glad I told us this is where we just were.
Just some people did.
You need power tools.
say everyone just stay here and die.
As the shock waves raced outward, 150 kilometers southwest of the epicenter, they slammed past Fukushima Daiichi, an aging nuclear power station housing 6 reactors. Japan's warning system had automatically shut down the reactors. Cooling them would take time. After shutdown, emergency diesel generators kicked in to pump coolant through the reactor cores. Fukushima survived the earthquake intact, but there was one big problem. It stands just meters from the sea. The warning systems worked, and most buildings were still standing. But even before the quake had finished, everyone in Japan knew worse was to come.
3 minutes after the quake, authorities issue the first tsunami warning.
The Meteorological Agency is warning that very high tsunami are expected in the following areas. The eastern part of the Pacific coast of Hokkaido. The central part of the Pacific coast of Hokkaido. The western part of the Pacific coast of Hokkaido. The Sea of Japan coast of Aomori Prefecture. The Pacific coast of Aomori Prefecture. The coast of Iwate Prefecture. The coast of Miyagi Prefecture. The coast of Fukushima Prefecture. The coast of Ibaraki Prefecture. The east coast of Chiba Prefecture. The west coast of Chiba Prefecture. The coast of Shizuoka Prefecture. The coast of Wakayama Prefecture. Everyone near the coast must evacuate to higher ground.
It's been almost 30 minutes since a magnitude 9.0 earthquake shook Japan. The country's entire eastern seaboard is now under a tsunami alert, but it's a 90-mile stretch of the northeastern coast that bears the brunt of the approaching waves.
It sent a tsunami 10 meters high racing towards the mainland. The Tohoku earthquake had unleashed onto Japan one of the greatest forces on the planet. People had just minutes to save their lives. In places, it was 15 meters high. That's as tall as a three-story building. Powerful recorded earthquake in Japan's history. A mammoth tsunami is pummeling the country's northeastern coast.
caused it. Over centuries, the Japanese side of the tectonic fault line had been compressed and dragged downwards by the Pacific plate driving beneath it.
The whole upper plate behaves just basically like a rubber block. It just compresses and like a spring like this. And when the earthquake happens, it springs back.
The sudden upward flip of such a huge slab of rock lifted a 6 kilometer deep mass of water upwards to the surface of the sea. As it collapsed back, immense waves raced out across the ocean. Not like normal sea waves, more like shock waves from an explosion. Just a meter high, but over 100 kilometers from front to back, and traveling at terrifying speed.
The energy heaved up the sea floor. That displaced vast amount of water that we can see made it its way on land, it made its way off around the Pacific.
One side of the wave hurtled out across the Pacific. The other side raced towards the coast of Japan.
Tsunamis travel very fast at a speed that depends on the water depth. And because in the deep ocean, tsunami travels very fast, reaching at times the speed of a jet aircraft.
At over 800 kilometers per hour, the wave took just minutes to reach the coast. Here, the shallower sea floor slowed down the front of the wave. The wave's fast-moving rear was still racing in. It began to catch up with the front. The increasing pressure pushed the seawater up into a rising swell. The tsunami had arrived. First came Ofunato in the north. Then Sendai to the south. And Miyako in the north again. Measurements from tsunami monitoring stations along the coast were equally puzzling. The height of the wave varied dramatically from town to town. But why? The varying depth of the seabed was partly to blame. Where the water was deeper, the tsunami traveled faster and reached land more quickly. Another factor is the complex detail of cliffs, bays, and inlets along the shoreline.
It boils down to how the wave is focused and defocused by the geography or the topography of the coastline itself.
This is Ofunato, where the wave hit first. Deep water off the coast offered little resistance to the wave. Tsunami warnings did sound, but here there was little time to get to higher ground. Fifteen minutes later, the tsunami hit Sendai, 116 kilometers south. The area around the city is mostly farmland, low-lying, fertile, and flat. That's why the tsunami barely slowed as it smashed ashore. The flat land was perfect for an airport, too. It opened just 4 years ago. A kilometer from the coast, it was deluged.
ferocious power of the tsunami began deep under the sea, inside the planet. The huge energy released by the earthquake ruptured a 300-kilometer stretch of the Earth's crust. It forced the seabed up perhaps 10 meters, driving a column of water up above the surface of the ocean. The tower of water collapsed, sending a tsunami racing at 200 kilometers an hour east across the Pacific Ocean and west towards Japan. The tsunami consisted of up to 10 individual waves, each about a kilometer apart. As it neared the coast, the tsunami became much more dangerous. In the shallow water, the individual waves began to catch up with each other, becoming higher. The tsunami had become a giant wall of water. The death toll is estimated at over 10,000. Thousands more remain missing. Constant aftershocks and multiple tsunami warnings continue to hamper rescue and recovery efforts. Immediately after the earthquake, seismic sensors had automatically triggered the shutdown of four nuclear power stations across Japan. Among them was the Fukushima No. 1 plant, 240 kilometers from Tokyo. It's standard procedure after an earthquake to insert control rods into the core of a reactor to stop the nuclear chain reaction. But elsewhere in the plant, there was a problem. The earthquake had knocked out the power supply to the reactor's cooling system.
This reactor complex was built with earthquakes in mind. It was designed to withstand a magnitude 7.9 shake, and with the sea just here, they built a seawall 6 meters high to protect against tsunamis. But what they didn't plan for was an earthquake so big or a tsunami so high. I mean, if that wall had just been a meter and a half higher, it would have kept the wave out. But as it was, it overtopped it and set off a terrifying chain of events.
sickening sight of a nuclear reactor building vanishing in an instant. The blast at the Daiichi nuclear power plant in Fukushima was above reactor 1. Its outer structure is gone. The government says it was the result of gases mixing outside the core, which retains its own casing, and that radiation levels have decreased since. An emergency coolant mixture of seawater and boric acid is being injected into the core. Of the 5 other reactors at the plant, the operator TEPCO says 2 are experiencing coolant problems.
We can stabilize the reactor if we take the air out and pump water in the vessel properly. This will be a controlled release, and the air will contain radioactive substances. However, it will not affect the health of humans, and we'll do this in order to stabilize the reactor in a controlled manner.
Over 100,000 people have been evacuated from the area. Residents are being told they need to stay a safe distance away from the reactor.
A million incomes arising across the cities of the plain. There's no swimming in the heavy water, no singing in the acid rain. Red alert, red alert. It's so hard to stay together, passing through revolving doors. We need someone to talk to and someone to sweep the floors. Incomplete, incomplete. The world weighs on my shoulders, but what am I to do? Yes, sometimes I be crazy, but I worry about you. I know it makes no difference to what you're going through, but I see the tip of the iceberg, and I worry about you.
What happened at Fukushima? Well, we're beginning to piece the things together. First of all, the Japanese did plan for a tsunami. They knew about the risk. They had a wall, 15 feet tall, to protect themselves against a tsunami. Well, the tsunami that hit Fukushima wasn't 15 feet tall. It was more like 25 feet tall. So that was the first big mistake. The second big mistake was when they designed the reactor, they put the generators in the basement. Now, that, of course, is the silliest place to put the generator, because they'll be the first things to be knocked out if water goes over the wall. Well, that's exactly what happened. Generators went out, and so there was no power. No power meant that the pumps came to a halt. And when that happens, water levels begin to drop. And as water levels begin to drop, the core becomes uncovered, starting to release radiation. Now, it turns out that several things happened at the same time. First of all, as the core was uncovered, the core became very hot, and the zirconium, which coats the rods, reacted with the water to generate hydrogen gas. Pressures began to develop, dangerous pressures, so the workers had to vent the gas. When they vented the excess hydrogen gas, that relieved the pressure. That was good. However, hydrogen gas will explode. There's a lot of oxygen in the air. The hydrogen gas combined with the oxygen, and a simple spark could set it off. And so not only did we have melting in all 3 reactors, we also had hydrogen gas explosion in all 3 reactors. At that point, piecing it all together now, the government advocated putting in seawater. It says unorthodox. It means destroying the reactor, because seawater is quite corrosive. The utility resisted that. Utility said, but these are our reactors. We put a lot of money into them. The government insisted, but the utility said, no, we're not going to flood them with seawater. So they delayed several crucial days. And finally, when it was obvious that radiation levels were soaring, that workers were being endangered, that 800 workers on site had to be evacuated, well, yeah, they put in seawater, and that meant that the reactors became a pile of junk. But that wasn't enough. Seawater boils off because there are no pumps to circulate it constantly. And so what happened was seawater boiled off, and then they had to use fire trucks, firemen, brave firemen, to shoot water over the core. So most workers had to be evacuated, except for about 50 workers. Now, these are heroes. These 50 workers realized that they probably would get a lethal dose of radiation. 5,000 rads of radiation will kill you, and they probably realized that radiation's levels were getting to that level. But they were like samurai. They said that they will go into that radiation field. So what happened was the utility also called out the fire trucks. The fire trucks keep spraying as much water as they can on the spent fuel pond and on the cords. Now, Unit 4 was a problem. Unit 4 is a spent fuel pond, and it has old reactor fuel, but that reactor fuel actually has more radiation than the core. It turns out that this spent fuel pond containing nuclear waste has three times the number of rods that you usually find in the core. The core has about 500 rods. There are about 1,500 rods inside the spent fuel pond. When water levels drop, then the metal air reaction with zirconium kicks in, and then you get an explosion. In fact, it's like fireworks. You see all the metal igniting when hydrogen gas comes out. It's like a Roman candle, except it's nuclear waste. We know that Unit 1 is about 70% damage to core. Unit 2 is about 33% damage, and we don't even know the extent of damage to Unit 3. However, we do know that for many, many days, about one-third of the core was exposed. Now, this is something that you never do. No engineering book says you should expose the core of a nuclear power plant for days on running, which means that the top third of the cores have probably disintegrated totally and have melted down. And that's why people are being very cautious about this accident, because it's on a knife's edge.
This was Kesennuma on Friday as the massive tsunami swept in, tossing boats aside like children's toys, uprooting houses, and turning the city's streets into torrents of angry black water. 3 days after the tsunami, much of Kesennuma is still underwater and walled in by mountains of debris. Every street we tried to get down is jammed with piles of cars. Even the rescuers are struggling to find a way in. When they do, mostly what they're finding are bodies. This one, a man found trapped underneath a car. Nearby, I find Mr. Kumagai. His house has been completely destroyed. You can see the tide mark at the top of the first floor.
Everything here has been utterly destroyed. The level of devastation is really quite hard to comprehend. And this is just one small town. It's still not clear how many more places like this there are scattered along the coast that none of us have seen yet.
Denumu, there's a sudden flurry of excitement. A helicopter hovers low over the town centre. And then from amid the destruction, two survivors are plucked to safety. It is a rare moment of hope, the only one we saw here all all day.
Trapped for 9 days, then rescued alive. The story Japan has been waiting to hear. Sumi Abe, 80 years old, was in her kitchen when the earthquake struck on the 11th of March. With her, her 16-year-old grandson, Jin. It was Sumi's fridge that saved them. Within reaching distance, liquid and food, including yogurt. Jin eventually managed to struggle out of the collapsed house and onto the roof where a passing helicopter spotted him. He then led rescuers to Sumi. She was confused but conscious. Her rescue, all the more dramatic for her age.
For anyone to have been found alive this long after the quake is remarkable enough. But for one of those people to be 80 years old is barely believable. A nation in desperate need of some good news finally has something to celebrate.
Amid the destruction on Japan's northeastern coast today, a moment of silence, as workers there and millions of Japanese nationwide stood in quiet contemplation. Among them, Prime Minister Naoto Kan.
It's been 1 month since the quake happened. I hereby conduct a silent prayer to express our sincere condolences for the souls killed in the disasters.
The day's reflections were disrupted by another powerful aftershock, measured at magnitude 6.6, the second big one in 4 days. It rocked Tokyo and cut power to more than 200,000 homes. A tsunami warning was issued, then canceled, when no wave appeared. But the aftershock again interrupted efforts to cool the crippled reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant. Workers were evacuated and external power was temporarily cut. In recent days, crews at the plant have managed to plug a major water leak that have sent tons of highly radioactive runoff spewing from a cracked containment area. Less radioactive water was dumped directly into the Pacific Ocean, though that was finally stopped today. Government officials also added 5 more communities to the evacuation zone to prevent long-term radiation exposure. Spokesman Yukio Edano said the zone could be expanded further.
At present, we have requested people to stay outside a 20-kilometer radius of the damaged Fukushima nuclear plant. However, if the radiation situation worsens in any way, we will review that limit of 20 kilometers.
The U.S. and other nations have told their citizens in Japan to stay 50 miles from the plant. Meanwhile, the month-long search for bodies continued today. More than 13,000 are confirmed dead, 14,000 more remain missing, and many may never be found. In Kesennuma, among the hardest-hit coastal areas, soldiers face a dauntingly large task.
We are in a very difficult situation because it is impossible for us to remove the massive rubble by just manpower, so we have to use heavy equipment, but must do it very carefully. We are trying to retrieve bodies as cleanly as possible.
For the living, life gets no easier. Hundreds of thousands are homeless, and home for many is now a sparsely appointed shelter. In one corner of coastal Miyagi Prefecture, 36 families won a lottery for temporary housing. Nearly 2,000 more are waiting, still a small fraction of the overall need. Housing in these units is guaranteed for 2 years, but doubts abound and fears of what could still happen.
I am sure that another tsunami is coming. I hope that the government rebuilt the tsunami barrier so that we can go back to the life we used to have, but I doubt that we can do it within 2 years.
At the same time, there is hope. In Tokyo, schoolgirls from the evacuation zone recently sought donations to assist those in need. And one retiree struck an optimistic note.
We will rise up from the devastation as long as we keep the faith strong and everybody works in cooperation with each other.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. Too much confusion, and I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. of them along the line know what any of it's worth. No reason to get excited. The thief, he kindly spoke. But a joke. But you and I, we've been through all that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now. The hour is getting late. Servants.